You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company on the road with Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. I am heading on the way to Nashville to watch my MUS Owls take on what is definitely a pretty good Conference USA team in Brentwood Academy. So we're massive underdogs. So I'll be on the road. George is back in studio hanging out with us. It's me and George in the first segment. In the second hour, we will be getting into the list as well as our games of the weekend. We'll also have Blake Topmeyer coming up next segment. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But don't forget, if you're away from the radio dial, you can still stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. Download the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand with the rewind feature. You can also listen on the TuneIn Radio app, as well as the iHeartRadio app. George, I'm a little worried about my AirPods. How are we sounding right now?
Don't sound too bad. Sounds pretty good.
Okay. All right. So as long as we can keep that, hopefully we will be A-okay. So there's a couple of things that I wanted to start with. And, you know, if we use the premise that Mark and I used to always use, which is, what are we going to be talking about on Monday? Well, when you look at the slate of games this weekend, it's pretty pedestrian. And so to me, that becomes a question of, okay, oftentimes if we look at college football, oftentimes when we have these types of weekends, things can get a little chaotic. So the question is, can things get chaotic this weekend? Because I was looking at a few things, George, and you and I feel like are not the world's biggest AP ranking guys and putting a ton of stock into it. But no. If we use the AP rankings, let's take a look. In week one, we had four instances of top 10 teams going. What was interesting, though, is only one of those instances was a top 10 team that lost to an unranked team. That was Alabama losing to Florida State at 2:30 on Saturday of Labor Day weekend. But we had number one Texas, who closed as an underdog, losing at number three Ohio State. We had number four Clemson losing at home to number nine LSU. And then we had number six Notre Dame losing on the road at Miami. So when you take a look at those four games, other than really, I think, what Florida State did, none of it was like truly jarring. We're talking about games that were spreads under a touchdown. Nothing really out of the ordinary. And we also had basically in three of those four instances, top 10 teams losing to top 10 teams. So nothing really chaotic there. Would you agree?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, even now looking at some of the stuff that Alabama's done later and how Florida State has gone on to play, especially, you know, with the gift of hindsight, okay, we can kind of see where, you know, the makings of that happened. We were able to see how that developed into what we have today. But the rest of it, no, the rest of it wasn't surprising. Definitely not the Clemson and LSU, because now we know Clemson stinks.
We know Clemson stinks, and that was a point in which I think it's fair to say Garrett Nussmeier was healthier.
Oh, 100% than what we've seen last weekend. And then even with Notre Dame and Miami, I think now, even though that may have been the starting point of what we think of Miami now, we now don't just think, we know how dominant they can be in the trenches.
Yeah, and to me it's like Miami, I think, now, rightfully so, Miami is ahead of Notre Dame. All right, week two, no top 10 teams went down. Week three, number 8 Notre Dame loses to number 16 Texas A&M at home. That's the, you know, the dropped extra point, and you know, that was a back and forth game. And now we know Texas A&M is currently a top 10 team.
Pretty good. I mean, we kind of expect that. Now, I mean, that was kind of the coming out party maybe for that Texas A&M team and Marcel Reed.
Yeah, and there's, to me, like, there's nothing chaotic about that. That was I think that was another spread that was around 6.5. Then we had number 9 Illinois, who was at least a 7-point underdog, if not more, losing at Indiana. That was our only blowout. I can't remember what the final was. It 63-14. It was like, it was
something like that. Indiana
was an absolute
destroyed them, crushed them.
Yes. So we had an absolute bloodbath in that one. That's our one bloodbath so far. Then in week 5, we have number 8 Florida State losing to UVA in double overtime. Again, chaotic scene, but again, it was another touchdown spread. You know, it was 6.5, somewhere in that area. We had number 4 LSU losing at number 13 Ole Miss. LSU was an underdog. Then we had number 5 Georgia losing at home to Alabama. I believe that was another 3-point line.
That sounds
and then
right.
We had number 3 Penn State losing at home to number 6 Oregon in double overtime as well. So when you take a look at it, only 2 of these AP top 10s have lost to unranked teams. The other instances that we had were examples of top 10 team losing to ranked teams, and most of them were going on the road and losing, or losing to another top 10 team, you know, at home in the cases of Clemson, in the cases of Ohio State, or beg your pardon, not Ohio State, in the case of Penn State with Oregon, but nothing really chaotic. So when you take a look at the schedule this week, well, we've got number 1 Ohio State hosting Minnesota. I think if Minnesota went to that game and won, that would be the most shocking result we'd have of the year. It would also be the biggest upset we've seen in terms of a point spread all year, because I think it's around 23.5. Oregon is off. Miami goes to Florida State. Ole Miss is off. Oklahoma hosts Kent State. Texas A&M hosts Mississippi State. Penn State goes to UCLA. Indiana is off. Texas goes to Florida, and then Alabama hosts Vanderbilt. So if we're looking at kind of the formulas, well, the types of upsets that we've seen, the ones that qualify would be Florida State beating Miami and then Vanderbilt beating Alabama. I am wondering at some point, though, do we get the type of upset that is like a jarring type, I cannot believe that happened?
If we're just looking at this week's slate for this top 10, I don't want to put it at a 0% chance, because, I mean, there's always at least a 0.0001% chance. I mean, that's why they play the games. You never know what actually is going to happen between the white lines. But, I mean, do we really think PJ Fleck and Minnesota are going to go into Ohio State and win that game?
Do not, because no. I also think, to me, it's like, I think Ohio State is clearly the best team in the country, and I know there's some Oregon folks that would say they have something to deal with it. I just, again, I could be wrong. We'll maybe find out at the Big Ten championship game. But it's just one of those things where if they were playing on a neutral, I would pick Ohio State to win the game.
Definitely. I mean, I say that. I wouldn't say definitely. I think Dante Moore has looked a little bit better than Julian Sain through, you know, some tougher competition. But that Ohio State defense is truly elite. But to me, like this week, that game, the Kent State game, the UCLA game, all of those kind of fit into that same mold of, okay, we've at least seen some sample size now. We've seen 4 to 5 games of each of these teams. Those would be truly shocking. Texas A&M and Mississippi State would be surprising, but the way that Mississippi State has played in pretty much all of their games so far this year, even in a loss last week to Tennessee, they are very clearly improved from last year. We just haven't seen to what degree. If they go out there and win, I think that's a pretty good indicator that, wait a second, this State team, they're not just joking around. They're not just better than they were last year. There's genuine improvement happening, you know, with this team and with this program.
Yeah, I think if the Bulldogs pull off that upset, I don't sit there and go, that's chaotic. That's to me going, the market has not adjusted for how bad Mississippi State has been the last couple of years, and people have not adjusted to the fact that they
have
put together
actually kind of good this year.
They put together a significantly better roster, and that it's just a team that the market has just been wrong on, which we will see from time to time. Like,
yeah,
last
absolutely.
Year we saw it. Last year we saw it with Indiana. The market really never caught up to them. The year before with Arizona, the market never really caught up to them. And to me, it's like Mississippi State is one of those teams that I'm flagging for that, because if you look at it, their season thus far, they have. They're one of the few teams that is still undefeated against the spread. They have either dominated the games that they've won, or in the case of the Tennessee game, that game goes to overtime. They were in the game the entire time. It comes down to basically a fourth down play at the goal line, and they don't score, but they have been in every single game. It is weird, though, even though that point spread, I don't know if you have it in front of you. This morning it was around 16.
Ooh.
It's funny to me how, like, that point spread's around 16-ish, and Memphis, it's probably 15, 15 and a half right now. You could have to pull it up.
Yeah, I'm pulling that game up.
But, like, it's funny to me, that game would not feel as significant of an upset as if we want to turn it to a local situation where the Tigers are hosting Tulsa, and that point spread's been around 20 and a half. So we're only talking about 4 points difference. But if Tulsa were to beat Memphis, I would think of that as a significantly bigger upset than Mississippi State beating A&M.
Absolutely. And yeah, I just pulled it up. Texas A&M currently a 16.5 point favorite at home. I understand it's a home game, but that, in a way, that almost feels a little disrespectful. Like, no, like I would give them, okay, sure, if you wanted to give me 10.5, I'd be more okay with that, but 16?
Well, shout out to your boy. I got some great closing line value. We had to do picks this morning. Jeff and I, spirit of full disclosure, we came in early and we're doing picks. That line, I think I got it at 15 or 15 and a half, already up to 16 and a half. So there you go. That's some great closing line value for your boy. But to me, I think if we're looking at the games that would qualify, I think you have to zero in on two. It's, can Florida State show that last week, you know, they played a poor game and they went up against an opponent that is much improved in Virginia. They've spent money on their roster. They've got a high-powered offense, and that's a game that you went on the road, you made some mistakes, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, you find yourself in a track meet. You can't secure a walk-in touchdown, and you find yourself getting beat. Okay, is that the mark that they're demonstrably worse than Miami? No. And now they go back home and, you know, all of a sudden we've got ACC chaos doing what ACC chaos does. And then, I mean, I do think you have to look at the Alabama Vanderbilt game. And I know all the makings are there of, well, Alabama's not going to get caught sleeping this year against Vanderbilt. But I also think this is true. I think Vanderbilt is much better than they were last year. And I think what my eyes have told me about the SEC is that no one is head and shoulders better than anyone. And I think Vanderbilt deservedly so, maybe at the bottom part, but I think they deserve to be considered in the top half of the league. And if you want to put them at the bottom part of that top half, that's fine. But I just haven't seen a tremendous amount of separation between the best team and the bottom part of that group.
No, I don't think there has been that separation, and that's kind of where we've brought the conversation about where does this conference end up at the end of the year come playoff time. And to your point, I do think this Vanderbilt team is better than last year's Vanderbilt. I mean, last year I think it was they were the sneaky team. They were the ones that were, you know, scratching out some of these tougher wins that they didn't need to. We're not seeing that this year. They blew out the teams that they're supposed to blow out. I mean, they put up 55 last weekend. I don't think last year's team was doing that.
The fewest points they've scored all year is 31 at South Carolina.
Yeah, and that's a conference game on the road.
On the road, yeah.
Like, this is an actual offense now, whereas last year I think it felt almost way too Pavia-dependent, and now they're able to get some contributions beyond him.
No, I mean, they have actual speed on the outside. Now, I do worry about the depth of Vanderbilt, and I do worry about Vanderbilt surviving this little five-game stretch that they're in which they're going to play some of the best teams in the sport. But that hasn't started yet. I'm a little bit more worried about Vanderbilt's the rest of the way. But going into Tuscaloosa, I feel pretty good about where they are physically. But that also, to me, is kind of, in a nutshell, where we are with the SEC right now, where I know they're 10.5-point dogs, but if Vanderbilt goes to Alabama and wins, I'm not viewing that as some type of chaotic result. Like, I'm not even, it's nowhere near the shock that it would be when we think about how we thought about that game last year when Vanderbilt actually did it.
That's exactly where that brings me back to, is it was incredible and it was shocking last year. But if it happens again, it's not just purely repeated history, because there's been actual development in the program and in the league.
Now, for the Alabama fans out there, I think it's deserved to be stated. The letdown spots from Kalen DeBoer have been on the road. At home, they have been very good under Kalen DeBoer. They're still perfect at home, and they're even, I think now they're 7-2 against the spread, because I think they were 6-2 last year in home games ATS, and then this year they hammered Monroe, they hammered Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I think, is this their next home game?
I think this is their next home game, because obviously last week was at Georgia. They should be. I think so.
And they had a bye week before Georgia.
That's right.
So I do want to give the other side of the equation, but I think that's kind of the things that I'm looking for as we head into at least the college football side of it this weekend. To me, it's like, can we see some chaos? And then I think the other aspect of what we have this weekend, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot for the Tigers from the American perspective, because if you look at it, of the teams that I think we would consider the contenders for the conference, if that list includes Memphis, South Florida, Tulane, and North Texas, only two of those teams are in action. We got South Florida tonight hosting Charlotte, 4-touchdown favorites, and then we have the Tigers hosting Tulsa tomorrow as 3-touchdown favorites. So it would just be one of those situations where if we come back on Monday and we're talking about the American standings, to me, it's like somebody had an inexplicable loss.
That's the only way. That would be the only singular way that we end up talking about the American Football Conference. You know, if things just change for basketball or anything else over the weekend, sure, we're going to end up talking about it. But for the Football Conference of the American, something crazy has to happen, because we've already talked about how bad Charlotte is. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, we saw this yesterday. Charlotte was Bill Belichick's first win as UNC head coach, and it wasn't very close. And Tulsa? I mean, it's a 20.5-point line right now, and we're talking about a Memphis team that at this point is doing more than just contending with all the G5 opponents that they've had so far and will likely have. They're winning those games. Just like
Mississippi State, Memphis is one of the only other teams. So I think it's Utah State, Memphis, Mississippi State. There might be one more, but they're the only teams undefeated against the spread. And then Memphis is one of the only teams that's actually undefeated on the football field.
Is Utah State, what was the line last week with Vandy and Utah State?
They got backdoor touchdown.
that made it 35-55,
because it depended on when you got it. Like some people, it got, I think, as high as 23.5.
Yeah.
It was somewhere around 21.5. So Utah State did remain perfect against the spread last week.
That's gross. Hey,
it's a 60-minute game, George. Good teams win, great teams cover.
Oh, we know the rule.
There's a couple other instances, though, of teams that are in kind of interesting spots. So Texas Tech goes on the road, and they're going to Houston. Houston is one of those teams that a lot of the hipsters of college football were very high on coming into the year, thinking the year had been – or the roster had much improved. This is kind of a Willie Fritz special in the sense that usually they suck out loud their first year.
Yeah.
But then he starts to put together a roster. They start to build, and many people have tapped Houston as a year two Willie Fritz special. Well, they went to Oregon State last week in a game that they trailed the fourth quarter late by 2 touchdowns. They end up surviving in double overtime in a game that they had no business winning. But that's another example of a team that traveled a big distance to go play, you know, a sleepy opponent. They nearly get upset, but they end up getting out of there alive, and now they're going to come back home in a game that a lot of their fans are excited about. I do wonder if Texas Tech is so much better than the rest of the league that this will be another example in which we'll see Texas Tech just absolutely flex. But that's an interesting spot. That's 6 p.m. tomorrow. And then we also have Iowa State, who is now just suffering a ton of injuries. They've lost both their starting corners. Both their kickers are out. Ooh. They're starting to get banged up significantly. Yeah, supposedly their kicker was like delivering their kicker was like delivering food to the team as of last week. But now he's on the roster.
Yikes.
They're going to Cincinnati, and they're slight underdogs. And Cincinnati's
really?
One of those teams that we've talked about, you know, on the show. We're going to look up and see in the middle of October, Cincinnati might be 6-1, and we're like, wait, what? I haven't even watched them play. But they got Iowa State tomorrow. And then Notre Dame hosts Boise. I don't think Boise's in Notre Dame's league, but at the same time, I do think if you have not a great defense and you've got a team that comes in with, you know, basically absolutely nothing to lose, well, that's a team that can find itself in a very, very sweaty, gross position in a fourth quarter on a Saturday.
Yeah, out of all of those games, I think Texas Tech at Houston might be the most interesting spot, because I think I might have ended up in that camp where I always thought Willie Fritz did a really good job at Tulane. I mean, at the time, partially bringing some of that program back to life. And then he goes to Houston last year, definitely huge struggles, new conference, the whole nine yards. But Texas Tech, I mean, they're just beating up on everybody in conference right now. And it just
including Utah.
Yes, including the other team that we're all like, man, that should be a pretty good team.
By the way, on the road, like this, like a lot of people, yourself, myself included, thought, okay, it's, you know, different step up in class. Let's see if Texas Tech, who hasn't been had their mouth punched, well, they answered that test and they passed it like basically
flying colors. I mean, like you said, this is a Texas Tech team where we looked at and thought, okay, you know what? They haven't been tested yet. I don't even think Utah tested them all that much. And that's where that game was so interesting for me. Like, Utah didn't even get the punch in. They just got knocked out.
No, I mean, basically, Texas Tech controlled both lines of scrimmage. Texas Tech was the team that actually had the turnover problems, and that's the only thing that kind of kept the game reasonably close for about three quarters. Texas Tech even had to deal with playing their backup quarterback during the game because Baron Morton gets knocked out. Now, they low-key might also have a Trinidad Chambliss situation where
backup
where
might
you're
be
not,
pretty
you're not
good.
You're not so sure which one should be playing. But I think the other aspect of this, and maybe we'll talk to Topmeyer about it, this is a game that I do not think I will end up watching it, but I'm not super excited about it. I just don't have a ton of appetite to watch Florida and Texas. But point spread-wise, this is one of those opportunities where we could see a top 10 team go down. Now, to your point, Texas might reveal to us, hey, that was a top 10 team in name only. If they go and lose this game, it's a strong likelihood that not only will they go from, you know, that they'll go from a top 10 team to unranked based on this loss. But I just, man, that's a game that you would think helmet wise you'd be super excited to watch. But man, I don't know why. I am not fired up at that game at all.
I'm glad you brought that up, because when we were talking about the top 10 teams earlier on in the segment, that's the one that kind of stuck out to me. It's like, is that almost a potentially sneaky upset spot? Because I am still so unconvinced by Texas's offense. I don't care. I really don't care that they were able to finally move the ball and Arch is finally able to get into the end zone against Sam Houston State. That doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. By the way, did you see how many points New Mexico State put up on Sam Houston State last night?
Correct me if I'm wrong. It was a lot.
I think it was 35. So we're basically same ballpark.
It
was 35.
I'm sorry. Now, that doesn't do anything for me. And
32?
I don't care that it's against
37, okay.
It's against Florida. It's on the road. It's in the swamp. Whatever. That program is still an absolute mess as well. And I understand that. But when it comes to watching, like you said, I have zero appetite to watch that game. It should not be a good product based on what we've seen. Neither offense is functional to start with. I mean, how many interceptions do we think are we going to see in this game?
Well, I mean, that's the only thing keeping me from taking the under, because bad quarterbacks can throw picks that lead to touchdowns and can also throw pick sixes. I mean, I would imagine the over-under – Arch is a little bit safer with the ball, so Arch probably has an over-under of 1.5. Lagway probably has an over-under of 2.5, 3. So, I mean – you know, I think if you're setting the combined total, probably somewhere around, what, 4, 4.5?
I'm trying to see if I can actually even see it.
You might be able to find that on FanDuel.
The DK does not have interception.
Kings doesn't have it.
No, not that I can see.
I mean, I will say this about Texas. I don't think their defense is fraudulent.
No,
so
I don't. I agree.
They're going to be in every single game, because I do think that defense is one of the five best defenses in the country, if not the best defense in the country. The problem is I don't know at this point why you can say all of a sudden that offense is going to start clicking. But, you know, maybe it's just the classic example for Texas, who's yet to play a conference game. They still got 8 conference games. Their final 8 games are all SEC games. And so the idea is we lean on the defense while we try to figure out what we are with an offensive identity. And now Florida's also got some injury issues. Their starting running back's going to be out. A safety's going to be out. So, like, maybe this is a spot where all of a sudden the dam breaks for Florida. But I still don't think that means that I'm going to leave this weekend thinking, okay, Texas just had a really horrible start, and really in the let's be real, we're just saying Arch had a really horrible start, but now all of a sudden they're back to being one of the top teams. I think I'd be surprised, because even if they win this game, let's say like 28-6, 31-6, I still don't know if I'm going to feel that great about anything they accomplished.
No, I'm in that same boat. I mean, the Florida program, it feels like just top to bottom right now is a mess. I mean, we still have no idea where they're going with the coaching situation. it cannot be Billy beyond this year.
Well, I mean, there are Florida fans that are apprehensive and nervous that they're going to win the game because
that might force them to keep Billy Napier.
Correct.
Oh, come on, get it together. That there's no way.
I think they'd have to win more than just this one.
They'd have to win a handful beyond this one, I would think.
And I'm with you. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about that game and more. Let's talk about all college football with Blake Topmeyer of the USA Today Sports Network. He joins us next on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
ESPN. Blake Topmeyer is the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. His podcast is, of course, SEC Football Unfiltered. New episodes available each and every week. Follow him on the Everything app at B Topmeyer. Blake, what was the most significant result of last week?
Oh, so many big ones. I think probably Alabama. It's tempting to say Oregon, Penn State. I mean, Ole Miss, LSU was big as well, but I think Alabama, because that would have been a crippling loss for Alabama, because that would have been number two. So the fact that they avoided loss two, I think, makes it a little bigger than what happened in Oxford and a little bigger than what happened in State College. But all three I thought were telling, because, I mean, this is exactly the type of game Penn State has to win if we're to take them seriously as a national championship contender. And it's just, it's hard for me to take James Franklin and Drew Aller seriously as a national championship contender. And I know people can say, well, Ryan Day hadn't won the big one until he had. No, Ryan Day had won a lot of big games. He struggles against Michigan. Like, his history in big games before winning the national championship really didn't compare to James Franklin's woes in big games. And same with Drew Aller. Like, I know this guy might be an NFL talent, but again, it's hard to take him seriously in big games. LSU, I think it was the culmination of some problems that we saw throughout the entire first month of the season. And then I think Georgia's got problems too, right? Like, I think we could look at that win in Tennessee and say, well, you know, Georgia, that same old Georgia, they find a way. And it's like, they are not always going to find a way. They're going to be one of these many, many teams in the SEC that I think is living life on the high wire week after week, which I think Alabama falls into that category too. Like, I'm not rushing to say Bama is back. This means Bama's not dead. They're very much alive in the playoff hunt, but I don't think we can say Bama is back. I think what we can say is this was a huge win for their playoff prospects.
Yeah, I'm with you, because it's one of those interesting things where you and I were both pretty high on Alabama this summer. And the weird thing for me is I think Ty Simpson has actually been better than I anticipated. And I had decently high hopes for him. I didn't think he had to be the greatest quarterback in the conference, but I thought he could be basically, you know, McElroy plus, if you will. And I think he has passed that test with flying colors. But I'm with you, like, I think that's the biggest story for me in the SEC is who's the best team? And then I think the other thing I was thinking about this week, I think the SEC championship game is going to have a combined 4 losses there. Like, that's kind of what that's how I think this year's trending.
I think it's plausible. I do think, I don't know, I think maybe one of those two teams will be 11-1, but I think at least one of them will have 2 losses in that game. And the one with 2 losses might end up winning that game. So they both teams might exit Atlanta with at least 2 losses. But I think the thing you hit on earlier is so true. Like, who is the best team in the SEC is probably the hardest question to answer of all the relevant topics in college football right now. Like, we can, we can debate contender, pretender, all that. But, like, I want to know from the SEC, who are their 2 or 3 top dogs that are going to be hunting the national championship? I think I know who those teams are in the Big Ten. My question with the Big Ten is, like, do they get 3 or 4 teams? Maybe who's that 4th team, or how legit is Indiana? But, you know, I feel pretty good that Ohio State is a national championship contender. I'm believing more and more in Oregon. I think Indiana's probably a playoff team. You know, I have a much better feel for that conference than the SEC. The SEC is still this mess of, in some ways, a glorious mess, not necessarily mess in a bad way, but a glorious mess of 9 or 10 teams that can make the playoff, and 9 or 10 teams without a ton of separation between them. And again, like, I don't feel like I can pinpoint the 2 or 3 best teams in the conference. I mean, I'm still a little bit taking up for Texas, but there's nothing I've seen so far that tells me that that's evidence. I just think they have a good defense. I think there's a lot of talent there. I think it's possible that maybe Arch will figure it out in the end, but you could make that argument for Texas A&M. You could make it for Ole Miss. You could make it for Alabama, Georgia. Like, there's no shortage of teams in the SEC you can make the case for that it's like, this is their best national championship contender. You don't have that in any other conference.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I was, as you're asking that question, I'm wondering, is this actually a Texas problem? Because it does seem to me the team that has the highest ceiling is Texas. I think it's clear at this point the defense is elite, but it feels like with that type of offense, you can lose just about any game, and there's no reason yet to believe that their offense is just all of a sudden going to hit October and start humming. And so, like, that's kind of where I'm wondering. It's like, are we overlooking teams, or is this really the issue was the team that had the best chance to be the national title contender just has a crappy offense?
No, I think you're totally right, because I think what we have in the SEC is a bunch of really good teams and no great teams, because the team that was supposed to be great isn't, and that's Texas. Now, you could say, well, Georgia was supposed to be great, but there was no supporting evidence for that other than the fact that Kirby Smart is the coach, and Kirby now gets like the Saban factor of like, we just assume every year they're going to be great. But when you looked at the rosters, I thought Texas was the team that was supposed to be great, and they're not. They're in that pack of really good SEC teams, which there are no shortage of, but this is a conference that is lacking a great team. Now, some may say, is there a great team in the Big Ten? I don't know. I mean, I think Ohio State looks really good. Their defense is dominant. I think they can ask more of their offense, and they just haven't yet for whatever reason. They know they don't have to. I think that's a little concerning. I'd let it rip a little bit more if I were Ryan Day to see what you have, but they haven't had to. They've been able to keep it under wraps, and they've won comfortably week after week. Oregon is starting to look pretty dangerous. The team that was supposed to be great in the SEC isn't, and that is, that in so much as there is a problem in the SEC right now, that's what it is. If we're struggling to see the national championship contender, it's because the team that has the most talent has not established itself as the premier team in that conference.
You know, to be fair, hey, you don't have to win the national title in September. And that's, you right. know, and so like, I want to be reasonable with Texas, but like, if you're asking me to sit there and go, are you a national title contender right now? It's like, not with that offense, but yes, you get an entire year. You know, it's, we play a whole season. And if they decided, hey, we knew with a young quarterback, maybe we didn't think it was going to be this bad, but we knew with a young quarterback, we were going to really have to lean on this defense and we were going to have to bring it along. And then maybe if we get to, you know, we get to November and all of a sudden that offense is starting to be explosive. Like, okay, but like, you can't ask me to just blindly believe that when there's no evidence to suggest that that can be the case right now.
No, that's true. What you also said is also relevant, that you don't win the national championship in contender in September. And so if the question to me was who's looked best in September, I would not answer from the SEC. I would not say Texas. But if we were playing an exercise of, you get to take one team from each of the Power Four conferences to win the national championship. You get four teams total against the field. Okay, let's play this out. I'm taking Texas Tech, probably from the Big 12. I'm taking Miami as a no-brainer from the ACC. From the Big Ten, I got two choices. It's either Ohio State or Oregon. I'm probably taking Ohio State because I love that defense. And then it gets interesting from the SEC, because Texas has not looked the best so far. But when it comes December, who do I trust most in the college football playoff? Now, Texas may go splat. They may not even make the college football playoff. But I have to pick someone in this exercise. I think I would probably pick Texas. Now, again, you could make cases for other teams. And this is not an exercise of who's looked the best. But if it is an exercise of you get to pick someone from the SEC today to win the national championship, I still think I would pick Texas, with the acknowledgement that if the playoffs started tomorrow, I think Texas would get bounced early. They would not be sniffing a national championship if the playoff starts tomorrow. But it doesn't start tomorrow, and so I would still roll with Texas. Who would you roll with? If you got to pick one team from every conference, who's your pick from the SEC?
To me, it's like, as long as your question is you have to pick a team to win the national championship, I'm still picking Texas.
Yeah.
I fully acknowledge your point that I think it's entirely – listen, it's possible that that offense cost them three games or four games. You know what I mean? Like, and we've seen it already cost them one, and that's kind of the other thing that's interesting to me. I did the exercise earlier in the week where I took the 10 teams that – statistically, according to ESPN FPI, I still have a chance to win the SEC. And obviously, some teams have better chances than others, but I was taking 10 teams and I was trying to be reasonable. Those 10 teams have 38 games against one another. Like, to your point, it's like, I know you and I have been talking about that in Diet NFL, But like to me, like it's even more apparent this year because, you know, quarterback play is not great in the league. And so, like, I just think you're going to wind up with a bunch of teams that are all kind of about the same, where it depends on who's healthy on a given Saturday, where was a game played, who played better, you know, because to me it's like, if you take a look at, like, let's say Ole Miss. Let's use Ole Miss as an example. Definitely more talented last year, but they're playing football this year, and more importantly, they have been better situationally this year. AKA, they got a running back that can get short yardage, and they're not having to just go fourth and one and run a, you know, a backup, a defensive end and a, in the wildcat. And then they've been great on third downs this year. Like, but do I really think Ole Miss can win a national title? No. And it's like, maybe if the exercise is who would you take to win the most playoff games and you can only pick one team from the conference, maybe I don't pick Texas. But if the question is who do I have to pick one team from the SEC to win the national title, I think I'm still picking Texas.
Yeah, and if we twist this further and say, well, now the question becomes which SEC team is most likely to make the playoff? I mean, there's no slam dunk in this conference. In the Big Ten, it's different. Like, I think Ohio State is a slam dunk to make the playoff. I do not see a world in which Ohio State will not make the playoff. But and there's probably a couple other teams that I have a hard time seeing them not.
I think Oregon. I think Oregon. I'm there with Oregon too.
Yeah, I think Oregon's a slam dunk. If Miami beats Florida State Saturday, I think they're starting to move into that category as well. Because I don't know Miami. Unlike last season, I don't think it's going to be the case where Miami has to win the conference to get in. They could not win the SEC. I think they're going to have a good enough resume if they beat Florida State on Saturday. So they are one win away from moving into that conversation. But from the SEC, there's no slam dunks. And so if we twist the question to who is most likely to make the playoff from the SEC, I think Ole Miss moves near the top of the list in that they already have the win against LSU on the resume. They've already played three conference games. I believe no other team in the conference has played more than one conference game. So that's a huge advantage. You're already 3/8 of the way through your conference schedule. There's only two ranked opponents left for Ole Miss. Now, both are on the road, Georgia and Oklahoma, but you have a couple options. You can lose both those games, hold serve against everybody else, which they failed to do last year with losses to Kentucky and Florida. But this is a different team, not as talented, but they seem like they got a nose for the victory to get across the finish line. So that's option A. You lose to the two ranked teams on the road and you hold serve everywhere else. Option B is you split with those two teams on the road, Georgia and Oklahoma, and that gives you some breathing room to lose one somewhere else. So I think if the question becomes who's most likely to make the playoff from the SEC, Ole Miss has a really good case. I don't know if they're the answer, but they're certainly on the short list for the answer. They might be the answer, but I would not pick them as my team from the SEC to win the national championship. I think they have a great shot to make the playoff. I don't think they have a great shot to win the national championship.
Well, and to your point, it's like, can you tell me in that Oklahoma game, is Michael Hawkins playing or is John Mateer playing?
Right.
Because all of a sudden, right, you know, I think a split is like, it's one of those interesting things where if Mateer is fully healthy and plays that game, I can weirdly make a case that I think the Oklahoma game is tougher for Ole Miss than the Georgia game would be, because the biggest reason why I think I struggle with Georgia, like, I'm super worried. That defensive line generates no pressure. It's no longer a fluke. It's no longer an anomaly. Like, I just have real concerns that, like, that team is going to be able to get stops like we're accustomed to them getting.
This is going to make some people's heads explode because Kirby Smart's on the sideline. This is not a good Georgia defense. This is an average Georgia defense.
Agreed.
Because there's multiple problems. You're right, but it's not a disruptive defensive line. This defensive line looks nothing like those back-to-back national championship teams. I mean, other than the name on the jersey, there is zero comparison point in this Georgia defensive line compared to what they had at Kirby's peak. But the back end of that defense is almost just as concerning. It's really a full-fledged problem in the pass, in defending the pass, because they don't have any disruptors up front, and I don't think they have great cover guys in the back end. So And heck, let's look in the middle of that defense. They don't have the linebackers that that they had during those back-to-back national championship teams either. Not even close. They had backup linebackers on those national championship teams that I think are better than these guys. So at every level, this is not a good Georgia defense. This is certainly not a great Georgia defense. It is an average Georgia defense. And Gunnar Stockton was mid, as they say, in that game. But, you know, focusing on the quarterback is too simplistic. The biggest issue at Georgia has nothing to do with Gunnar Stockton. It's that I don't know if their defense can win him a game. I mean, Gunnar Stockton won him that game in Neyland Stadium. He didn't win him that game against Alabama. But where's the defense? Is the defense ever going to be able to deliver any wins in these types of scenarios? I'm not convinced they are. I think Georgia goes as Gunnar Stockton that offense goes, and they weren't good enough on Saturday, and their defense didn't give them enough help, particularly in the first half.
I mean, to your point, the thing that's interesting to me about that game was, yeah, it didn't get as chaotic and the numbers didn't really get as inflated. It was a very similar script to the game last year that Alabama won, which basically was Alabama posted a number in the first half and said, we don't think you can come catch us. Yeah. And you know, and granted, I guess what I was more surprised by was I didn't have a problem that Kirby went for it on the fourth and one. Like, I did have a problem where play call was get it to your former walk-on third down back. I did not love that decision. But the thing that was obvious to me was, like, why did they punt the football? It was like, what, fourth and seven at midfield? Like, you were going to have to get a stop either way or the game was over with. So why didn't they just go for it there? That was the one that made no sense to me, because I did not have the faith that all of a sudden Georgia was just going to get the ball back and start right over.
We don't end up talking about this much in college football because so much of coaching success is attracting, developing, and retaining talent. It's a talent assembly game and keeping the talent. But there's not much conversation in college football of who's actually the best in-game coaches. I think Kirby Smart is a good in-game coach. I've never been convinced he's a great X's and O's. I mean, he's an X's and O's great guy on defense, of course. But, like, in terms of, like, game management in the moment, I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. I think he's exceptional at attracting and developing talent. That's been his trump card. That's why they won back-to-back national championships. And because of the transfer portal and free agency, I think it's going to be difficult. We're seeing this for him to maintain dominance. But, yeah, I think the situations you're talking about, the play call, I know he's not calling offensive plays, but come on, fourth and one, the head coach is approving anything that goes in that situation. And then the other scenario you're talking about, yeah, I think that's evidence that as an in-game manager, Kirby's good, not great.
Well, I think, though, everything we're discussing is, like, what leads me to this idea that it really is diet NFL, because to me it's like, to your point, we in college football, we very rarely talk about decision EPA or the coaches, right? Like what they do and how it impacted a game. But my biggest deal is what I'm watching is there's so little differentiation between so many of these teams. Well, now it is going to start to become a, hey man, what these coaches do is going to impact the game. It's why I know he's got the whole aggressive mantra and whatnot, but it's like, if you've watched Ole Miss this year, Lane might be doing a better job this year than he's done in any other year. Knowing when to go for it, knowing when to kick, and just in game, he's been the best. But this also goes to, like, my whole bigger issue of when we talk about national title contenders coming from the league. Blake, I'm not sure these schools, other than Texas and maybe Texas A&M, but the schools that we're talking about that have national championship aspirations, I don't know if they can fund the rosters that are going to be the Ohio States, that are going to be the Oregons, presuming that Uncle Phil is still with us. And I think that's going to be a hard reality for a lot of these people, because I just don't know if you can, at these schools, that you can put together the roster that's going to be a quote-unquote title contender.
Yeah, for the second straight year, Ohio State has bought and acquired the best roster in the country. I think Texas had a chance to be there if their quarterback was there. I mean, so much of it's that, right? It is still a little bit of guesswork, and it does require all the pieces to gel, all that, right? Like, you can't just it's not as simple as just slapping down a drug lord's money on the table like a TV sitcom, and next thing you know, a national championship comes in. You got to have some things fall into place. But I do think Ohio State has, for the second straight year, bought the best roster, and the best roster is not in the SEC, and I don't think Georgia has the best one. Whereas there was a few year span where they did. That's not the case anymore. I think the game has changed. I think Nick Saban was talking about that for years as sort of a warning cry. Now, I don't think his warning cry fell on deaf ears for me, because it's like, yeah, I think what you might be warning us about could be happening, Nick, but like, I don't have a problem with it. You know, like, he had a problem with it because it meant the status quo was changing, and the status quo was awesome for him. It's why he won so many national titles, because he was the master of the old model. He knew the old model was changing. He knew that was not going to be great for the powers that were currently on the throne. And we've seen that come to fruition. So, yeah, I think that's right. And I do think in this landscape, in-game coach with a little more parity, in-game coaching matters more, right? I mean, college football.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.